Okay, I just want to remind you this note that I put on here that the withdrawal policy says withdrawals are accepted until the 10th week of classes. This is the 9th week of classes, so it's time for you to evaluate where you stand and make a decision, because I can no longer give W's, okay? They've changed the policy. I cannot give a W past the 2nd week. So if you need to, and I'm saying this as much for the recorder as anything else, you need to evaluate where you stand. Okay. The next thing I want to do is look at loops. Okay, so the introduction to loops was down here. Oh, good. I didn't put my target top in there. I'm going to go in from this angle so I think I can get a full screen. Yep. Okay. So, these are loops, and we're just talking about the ways you can set up a loop in Oracle. Okay, so the basic way is loop and end loop. And you put the processing inside. And you can have an exit, which can include a when condition. And there can be multiple exits, so you can have an exit with a when condition and an exit with another when condition. I'm not, and most people are not, terribly fond of exiting out of a loop unless you do it at the bottom, because you're kind of, that is, well, when I learned to program, that was an acceptable way of doing it, and it hasn't been an acceptable way of doing it for a long time, to exit out of the middle of a loop to break. There's a philosophy that you should complete the loop. And if you want to not do part of the loop, then you should put an if statement in there that keeps you from doing part of the loop. But that exiting out mid-loop is not considered good programming. And so that is just something to consider when you are setting up how you want to do this. I created a table called test loop, and I put three pieces of data in it, a record number, a counter, and data in, okay, so that I could experiment. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do an insert, and so I started out, and I started out with a record number of 1 and a counter of 100. And I said, okay, now insert in test loop the loop record number and the counter. So I took the values of 1 and 100 and I inserted it in. And then I added 1 to the counter, preparing for the next record, and added 1 to the record number, sorry, and 10 to the counter. And then I said, okay, if the record number is greater than 5, then exit. Okay, so I'm at least at the bottom when I'm saying this. So I said, if the record number is greater than 5, then exit. Okay, and I will get out of it. And that's the end of the loop. Okay, so I'm going to end up with the records that are going to be 1 and then 100, 2 and then 110, 3 and so forth going through that. Okay, and you can see them down below. 1 and 100, 2 and 110, and so forth. Now, those records are in there. I wanted to play around with them a little bit, so I've gone in and said delete them. So I've now deleted so that I can do it again. And this time, instead of using an X, an if, I use an X and when. Okay, so I have an X and when the record number is greater than 5. So one time I did it with an if, this time I'm doing it with an X and when. And in both cases, I'm putting it at the bottom. Okay. Okay, this one I started out with a type equals 6. That's my only difference. And so I got out immediately. Okay, I went through the loop once, and I got out immediately. Now, the loop that I like best, and I think that's the one that's coming next. Nope, I've got one more of the if. Okay. If the record number is less than 6, I did the insert. And then I said, so basically what I'm saying there is you can stick in if statements, you can check and do all of those things. But I still, if you're going to use this style, I have the X at the box. Okay. So the one I like better is the while loop. And this is a while condition loop. And this is just a more standard way of doing it. Okay? So that's the one that I would choose if I were doing this. So I said while the record number is less than 6 loop. So that's, as I said, it's kind of your standard loop. While the record number is less than 6 loop. And what I'm doing is inserting and adding and so forth. And I'm doing my check up at the top. And on this one, when I started it at 6, I never entered the loop. Okay, so when I did a start of 6, I never entered the loop because I'm saying right at the top, well, the record number is less than 6 loop. If it starts out at 6, it's not going to enter the loop and it's not going to do anything. Now we get to the for loop. And the for loop is nowhere near as flexible as it is in other languages. And in fact, I went reading about it last night to make sure they haven't fixed it. I, every year, will read and optimistically hope that it's gained some power, but it really hasn't. Okay, so the for loop is really an iffy one as far as I'm concerned. I can do a for index in, and then I can have a reverse if I want to count backwards, as in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or something like that. I can put the reverse in there. And I can have lower bound and upper bound, and then loop. Now, the problem is that index cannot be impacted in my code. So there doesn't appear to be, and as again, I went reading last night to make sure that I couldn't find anything, and I never found it. There is not a good way of having the step that you have in so many other while loops, where you can say step 2, step 5, step 10, and have it increased by a difference. There are apparently some kind of convoluted ways you can pretend that, but if that's what you want to do, then it makes sense to use the while loop or the basic loop, because then you can do it without being convoluted. Or at least that's the stuff that I read this weekend, and that hasn't changed from long ago. So I said here, I'm starting out, and I said for I in 1 to 5. So that means I is going to start out at 1, go up to 5. So I'm going to go through this 5 times. And going to be insert the ads, and I'm doing it 5 times. Okay. If I want to, I can come out here and set up variables for lower and upper so that I can say for I in the V lower to V upper. So I set my 1 to 5 as V lower and V upper, and then I can say for I equals. But I just really want to be able to have a step clause, and that, at least what I have always found, is not there. If anybody finds a way to do it, let me know. And then I can reverse it, which means that I am going to go 5, 100 down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, because I've now reversed it. Okay, so I'm saying reverse. And this is a little bit different than the way you think of doing it. I've still got lower 1, upper 5. I've said do it in reverse. And so it starts with the upper and goes down. In most languages, I would be changing and having the first thing, the 5, and the bottom thing, the 1, if I wanted to go in reverse, and I'd be going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But here, the in reverse will make it do that. Okay, so it's a little bit different than the way that we're used to seeing this. There it goes in reverse. So those are the ways that you can do a loop. Okay. What I want you to do is actually start. Where am I? I want to go back and have you do a project that we're going to do, basically start together. So I've got this set server on, and I want you to basically go through this using the code logs, but the output would be generated if the ID was entered in 2222. So I want you to go through, there's a few examples, and make sure that you're comfortable with how to work in PLSQL. So I'm going to give you a little time to do that, and then we're going to move on. So there are a couple of problems here. I wouldn't bother to do the explanation. You can do that at home. I would just do the odd-numbered problems, which come up with the data. And then if you have time, go ahead and do the even-numbered ones. But I would do those more at home and do the odd number ones here. And I want to look at something else, so go ahead. Time, we're going to start looking at curses. I'm kind of, again, skipping around a little bit here. And we'll come back to these things. Thank you. So as I said, please do 1, 3, 5, and 7, and then we can look at it. Feel free to talk to people. What are you getting for the first one?
Sure.
Ron? I didn't hear you. Yeah, right. So this line is what I got when I ran that. Okay, so that should be what you're getting. If you don't like to see the old and the new, you set verify off. Okay? I didn't set verify off in this code, so it comes up with the old and the new. But if you want to get rid of that, you will set verify off. So all this one did was go in and say, I want to get a record, and I want to get those four fields. I want to put those four fields into memory variables. And I want to do it for the item number that is entered. And I enter an item number. This ampersand in front means that it prompts. So there's the prompt that I got. Enter the identification number. Okay, so there is the prompt that I got, and I got it because I set up the prompt up in the accept. So I'm getting the prompt. It is, I entered 2222. So that's the record it's selected. Then I do the DBMS line and put them out with concatenating with a space in between them. And the important thing is that since I'm using, want to use the DBMS output line, I need to set server output on. Okay, so set server output on lets me use that DBMS line. Okay? So I set the server output on, that means I have the DBMS line, and I'm putting out item number concatenated with a couple of spaces, concatenated with the name, and each time I'm concatenating it with a space so that they're not all ending up together. Okay? Any questions on that one? Okay. So go on and do number three. I'm not sure I have a new invent. measure them. What did you get on the second one? I apparently made her up there. What did you get on the second one?
The second one, it's going to change price 67 and 50. It's rounded up.
I think so. Going up by 2.
It's going up by 1.3.
Okay. Went up by 1.3 with pricing greater than cost times 1.3, then I'm changing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing an update. What about if I end up 3333 and So for the first one, as I said, I apparently don't have the right one up there. So I said the price. So if I enter the first one, which is 2222, then price is $51.99, and cost is $48, right?
Yep.
Okay. So those are what I'm starting out with. So it says if the price is less than the cost times 1.2, well, I've got to know what the cost times 1.2 is, right? So 48 times 1.2. That, right? Okay. And 48 times 1.3, which is the other one that I, the other test that I have, is cost times 1.3, four carry the two, 48, four, two, six. Okay. Presumably those are the right math. Tell me if they're not. All I'm doing is taking the cost and multiplying it. So on the first question, I'm asking if the price, and this is price, and this is cost. Okay, so I'm saying is the price less than 57.6? And it is less than it, right? The price, which is $51.99, is less than the 57.6. Yeah.
Do you set that at the new price?
I think so, yes. Because I said, if that is, then do the calculation. First thing I'm doing is doing the check, okay? And when I looked out on the one that I had out there, I'd apparently already made the change because it was up to 57.6. So I'd already made the change.
And you only ask it to display within the select statement the price in the box?
Yes. I'm actually not asking to display anything. Okay, wait a minute. I'm actually not asking to display anything. I'm asking it to update.
So
nothing happens. What you have to do to see if it worked is you have to then do another select statement at the SQL prompt against that database and see if the change got made to the database. Okay. So this one said if the price is less than the cost, so we're talking is 51.99 less than 57.6. And it is less, so I change this one and make it 57.6. Okay, and as I said, when I ran this, that's what I already had in there, so I clearly can make the change. So I change that. I do the update. Okay, if the price had been greater than 62 and it wasn't, so that wasn't going to cause anything to happen. And actually, I got the first if statement approved, so it's not going to check that one. So that one changed to 57. And now with the next one, I'm saying, okay, when I enter in the 3333, that gets me 17.99. as the price, and the cost is 14. And I'm going to have to make that same check. So I'm saying take the 14 and multiply it by 1.2. And I've got 16.8. And take the 14 and multiply it by 1.3. Okay, so I'm asking on those two, if V price, which is $17.99, is less than V cost times 1.2, and it's not, right? So then I say else if the V price is greater than the 1.82, and it's not, so I don't do anything. Okay?
So I did it wrong.
Okay.
Nothing happened.
Right, no. It wasn't supposed to happen right. With the second one. So then nothing happened with the second one. So then I set price equal to V price. Well, V price has R is simply the V price that I took in because I didn't do any changes in it. And so that stays at $17.99. Okay, does that make sense? Okay. Okay, did anybody do the fifth one yet?
So, what did it change the price of the second one?
It didn't.
It didn't, right?
Let me try to find where I crossed it out so I can bring it up again. Whoops. There. It didn't, because it didn't meet either of the criteria. And so it didn't change anything. $17.99 stayed the same. Now on the fifth one, what's happening? There's where I got a loop going on, so. Display some information if you want to. Okay, can we make that go away? Thank you. Okay, so what's the, does anybody have the numbers? Did anybody actually do the math on one of these? What?
No, just like go down the list.
Yes, and then we'll see if anybody else agrees, and then maybe if everybody agrees, we won't have to do it.
So, for Susan Smith, I have 5,500.
5,500.
for John Grievous, I have 5,000. And then I have 5,500. And then I have 3,850. And then I have 3,000. And then 4,500. And then 5,500.
Okay, does anybody else find those numbers?
Yes.
Yeah. You do? Okay. Okay. So those apparently are the right numbers.
The only thing with that is it's going in, and it's the loop table is set to start at 1. So basically, that's just going to run until it runs out of records.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
What?
I'm not sure how to think of it.
Okay, then let's go through it at the beginning at least. Exit when V to get is greater than 7. So that's my exit to get out of it when you said it will run through the whole thing. That's my exit to get out of it, and there are 7 records.
If
so
you put an exit, would it still, would it fall?
It would probably
fall.
Crash.
Right.
Let's do it. The first one was, so I can see what it was. It was 5,000 to start out with. Okay, so if V code is an AB, and it is, then we're asking, is it greater than 5,000? It is. So we're taking and doing this calculation, right?
Yeah.
So we have 5,000 times 0.1, which is 500. Because it's going to do that first.
Yeah.
That's right. You didn't do that. That was my guess.
Yeah.
If you did the left to right as opposed to the hierarchy of multiplication gets done before addition. Okay? So we take the 5,000, we multiply it by 0.1, gets us 500, add to the 5,000, we get 5,500. Okay? Is everybody comfortable with that? Because if you're not, let's do it again. You're not? Okay, so the second one was 4,000. We can see that. So what we're doing here is we're saying loop, and way down at the bottom we have the end loop. And we're starting out the to get equal to 1. And every time we go through this, we are taking to get, adding 1 to it, so to get is growing. Okay? So to get is growing. So what I'm doing is I've got records set up with the ID of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which is terribly convenient. Okay? So I'm saying select the ID number, the name, the amount, and the code. And the code is the DG thing, and the first one was 500. Can't see that up here, but the first person was 500 and 5,000 rather, and they had an AB, right?
Yep.
And I can't fit everything on there. So we come in and we move all of those things to the variable where the ID number equals V to get. So since I started V to get out at 1, it's going to take record 1. Okay? So it selected record 1. And then at that point I said, okay, if the code for record 1 equals AB, which it did, if the amount for record 1 is greater than 3,000, which it was, then take the amount, which is 5,000, multiply it by 0.1, it gives me 500. And add it to 5,000, which gives me 5,500. else's domana because it executed that first one, so I'm through. And then I say update the table, set the amount to the amount. So the amount is changed from 5,000 to 5,500. Okay? Then I add one to 2Git. So 2Git is now a 2. And I say exit when it's greater than 7. It's not greater than 7, so it loops back. And this time it goes in and gets the second record. The ID, John Davis, ID is 2, John Davis, 4000DG. And it got that because the ID was equal to the B2Git, which was now up to 2. Because I'd added one to it, so it got record 2. And so now it goes through and says, okay, is the VV code an AB? No, it's not. So it takes the else where it adds 1,000 to it. So it goes up to 5,000. Okay. I update, and then I add one to get so that my next time through I'm going to be getting record 3. Does that make sense? Okay. Is everybody comfortable with that? Okay, and then the last one is very similar. The last one is very similar. It's just got a little more of an if statement going on, because else I check for the code of DG and then do stuff. But all of the rest is the same. It's just the if statement that is different. Did somebody get answers for that one? Yeah, you've got them?
What do you have? For the first one, I have 5,500, then 5,000, then 3,250, then 3,850, then 2,550, then 2,750, then 5,500.
Is that what you had to? Yep. Okay. This one, so you use the original data, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have two answers to this at home. People that use the original data and people who use the one from number 5. So that, you know, if they made the changes in number 5 and then used that, I have that answer as well. So if you did that, you'll have different numbers, but that's acceptable too. So this is the answer for this one. Okay. Questions? Okay. This one... Where do we stand? This last two step through a file. But the reason it was able to successfully step through a file is that the ID numbers went progressively up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? If the ID numbers had not gone progressively up like that, then I would have had to have a plan so that I could get one record at a time, process it, get another record, process it, get another record, process it. And that's just not going to work. Okay? Because the IDs may be random. They may be based on department number plus this. They're just not going to work. And so that's what leads us to curses. Okay, I honestly will come back to the stuff that I'm skipping. but I really like the idea of kind of getting the idea of curses, and then we'll go back and fill in the blanks with the other stuff. So I'm going to look at introduction to curses.
Okay, so go to my notes and handouts and bring up the one that says introduction to curses if you want to have one. Okay, we're looking at explicit curses because explicit curses are created and managed by the program. Okay, implicit curses are magic that happens behind the scenes with certain things that you do. We're going to be looking at explicit curses. So I created a table called Donor Part. And Donor Part in it has, I said I wanted to take the fields from the donor table, okay? From the donor table, I'm taking name, year, goal, and state, and putting it in Donor Part as name, year, goal, and state. Okay, so I've got three different things going on there. Name, year, goal, and state. Okay. When using an explicit precursor in PLSQL, there are four things that must be accomplished by the program. First, the cursor must be declared. Second, the cursor needs to be opened. Third, the fetch is used to fetch the results of the query into the variables declared. And fourth, the cursor needs to be closed. So essentially, this fetch is like a read. Okay, so what it's going to do is it's going to open the cursor that you declare. It is going to put the data in that cursor. Now, in fact, if you've got 100,000 records, it's not going to put them in there. It's going to move some in. It's going to do its magic behind the scenes where it makes all its money by doing all this lovely stuff. But you can work with it as if they're all there. And the fetch is the thing that reads the information. Okay?
So if you come down, and hopefully you go back and actually read all these notes in between, please reassure me that you do.
Sometimes.
Please reassure me that you do. Getting better. Okay, so I am declaring the cursor up in the declaration. So I have those three fields that I know I'm going to want input in. So I've got those three fields up there. And then I've got the cursor, and I called it the donor cursor. And the donor cursor is select name, year, goal, state from donor. Okay? And all I'm going to do in this one is put that data into another table. I'm not doing a lot. I just wanted to illustrate the way the cursor works. So I have now set up in memory the donor cursor. And it is set up with the name, year, goal, and state from the donor. Okay, so it went to the donor table and it got the name, year, goal, and the state. Then I drop down and I hit the begin and I open. Now, open is what fills the cursor. Okay, the cursor was declared, but it wasn't filled. Nothing was in it. The open statement actually fills the cursor. So the open statement goes and does the select and puts the data into the memory cursor. Okay. Then I've got an initializing fetch, which is like an initializing read. One of the logic things that you do is you can have an initializing read, and then you can have a loop, and you put the read for every other record at the bottom of the loop. Okay, so that's one of the standard ways of I take in an initializing read, and then I have my other read inside. So the fetch is a read. So I'm reading the first record. So I said, fetch donor cursor into VName, VEagle, VState. So that took the data that was on the first record and it moved it up into these memory variables. Okay. Then I said, while the donor cursor is found, which means while there are still records in the donor cursor that I haven't processed, insert into donor part the values and then do another fetch. So I read a record or fetch a record, I insert it into another file, and then I fetch another record. And this fetch, insert, fetch, insert, fetch, insert will keep going as long as the donor cursor still has stuff in it. Okay? When the donor cursor no longer has something in it, then I drop down to the end loop and I close the cursor and end the program. Okay. So all it is it's a storage area. It's like having the file available to you, and I've got the file available essentially in memory, and I am just reading through one record at a time using the fetch loop. Yes, no, maybe? Yeah.
Cursors update?
Say that again?
Cursors change the values in them?
I can do that. They are not going to change. Whatever is, it's going to fill the cursor based on this select. Okay, now if the data has changed from the last time I run it, then it's going to change. It's going to be different data, but it's not going to change. It's not an active live changing thing. Okay, it has filled with the information that I selected. Okay. And the fetch, they keep track behind the scenes of where you are, and so the fetch gets the next record. So what we have going on there is sequential processing in that it is reading the information from the cursor one record at a time. Okay.
One question. Percent type on that. That's just going to change the length of the field. So if...
Percent
yeah,
type.
Yeah, like donor.name.
Yeah.
Type. It's just going to change the length of the field if the info you try to take in is longer.
That's right. It's not going to change anything unless I go into donor and change the length of the name field. So if the name field was 25, I made it 30. The next time I run this, this
will be 30.
It takes the type there, which is, as I pointed out, I think a wonderful thing. Because I don't, otherwise I'd be stuck with every time I change the description of the table, I've got to go into every program that uses that table and change the description. And that's a nightmare. Okay. So now I move down, and I said I can now modify the program so that the only rows are written to the new tables are rows with a year goal greater than 50. Okay? So now I've got an if statement that I've put in here and said if the year goal is greater than 50, then do the insert. Okay? So I'm doing the same fetch. It then checks year goal, if I fetch into those variables, it checks to make sure that it's greater than 50. And if it is, it does the insert. If it doesn't, it isn't. Now, the problem with this
is I still have got all of the records sitting in the cursor. And I've still got to check all of the records. So, it would be nicer if I do it this way. Because now, instead of having the if so that I have to process all the records, I'm just saying only put the records with the year goal greater than 50 in the cursor. So I've weeded them out before they got put in the cursor. So if I have 10,000 records and only 5,000 met this criteria, now I've only got 5,000 in the cursor. And I only have to process 5,000 as opposed to having 10,000 in the cursor and having to process them and ask questions about them. So this makes the, if I, any criteria that I can put in the cursor is helpful in that it limits the number of records that I got to go through and process. Okay? So since I know I only want records with a year goal greater than 50, it works fine putting the if statement down here, but it's more effective to put the if statement up there and only get records that meet that criteria, put it in the first to start out with. Questions? Okay, I like the way we just did it before, but this is another way that you can do it. I did the cursor found up there. Okay, so notice the difference. Here on the same loop, exit when donut cursor not found. Okay, so right after the fetch, I do the fetch. And right after the fetch, I'm saying, was that fetch successful? And if the fetch wasn't successful, exit. Okay, so that's what I'm doing there. Whereas up in the other one, I have the while donor cursor found. Okay, so this is while the donor cursor is found, go into the loop. On the other one, I had exit after the fetch, exit if you can't find it. So they accomplish the same thing. It's just, wait a minute, okay? No, you can have a seat, just be quiet. So that's the big difference. This one is saying, while the donor cursor is found through the loop. And the other one is saying, okay, so I'm looking at here what keeps me in the loop. And the other one is looking at what gets me out of the loop. And what gets me out of the loop is the exit when the cursor is found. And it's important that you, in that case, do the fetch and then test it. Okay, so I did the fetch. If the fetch was unsuccessful, then it's not found. Okay. So those are two ways that you can set it up. One is looking for staying in, one is looking for getting out. Okay, what is this one going to do?
out the amount of rubles as long as it's under 5.
Right. So it only process, it wants to process 4 records. Okay? So I'm doing a while row count is less than 5. And row count is something with a consent sign in front of it that it keeps track of for me. Okay, so row count is less than 5. Why did I put in the and part of that?
Less than 5 to glorify the loop.
Say that again?
If it's less than 5 to glorify the loop.
No, if it's less than 5, I want to get out. But what about if there were only 2 records? If there were only 2 records or only 3 records, then the row count less than 5 would never be triggered because there are only 3 records. Okay? So this is just in case there aren't 4 records, there aren't enough records, get me out. So I want to only process while there is something to be found. Okay? So I want to only process if there's a record to be found, and if there are not enough records, and, you know, 5 is probably an unrealistic number, but maybe I only want to process 100 records. If there weren't that many, then I need to get out based on the found. To be continued, since it is now 10:45.